Hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's give the Lord a hand, shall we? Come on, let's lift the roof off this morning. Come on, come on. He is good. He is worthy. He is holy. He is majestic. He is the all-awesome, majestic King of glory. Hallelujah. Oh, God is so good. He is so good. Come on, he's so good. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Come on, pick it up. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Shake off those rags. Come on. Come on. Break off those chains. Oh, he is good. He is good. He is good. He is good. And before I forget, it's like we're going to take up an offering this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. And I don't know if I'm supposed to say anything else, but I guess the buckets are going to get passed around. And it's like, hallelujah. Thank you for your sowing into this house. You're sowing into the kingdom of God. Oh, my goodness me. And it's been sown into good ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's actually really nice if I could have a bit of sound in the background. It's like God never stops encouraging. God has never stopped moving. God has never stopped talking. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. We have everything we need. We have everything in this book because this book is full of life. This book is full of direction. Oh, my God, my God. It's like I had the girls pray for me yesterday, my daughters, and it started off with a bit of hilarity. You know, it's sort of like, oh, Mum, you know. You know, oh, you know, that sort of that nervous sort of like, oh, this is a bit awkward. It's like, come on, girls. It's like, I've taught you. Come on, I've raised you up. It's like, come on, come and pray for your mother. You know, so once we got over all the hilarity, it's like it was just absolutely wonderful. And they just began to declare the word of the Lord over me. And while they were declaring the word, and that, and I was kind of praying as well, it was like I had this funny picture come into my head, and it was a picture of this house, and suddenly it was like I saw angels dressed like gardeners, and it was like, and they had wheelbarrows, and they weren't metal wheelbarrows, they were the good old fashioned, you know, wooden wheelbarrow, and they were running up and down the aisle, and they were being very busy. And they weren't dressed like in the robes. I never saw any wings. They were dressed just like humans. But they were in gardening clothes. And they were going up and down, and they were very busy. And they were pulling out. And they were rooting up. And they were tilling the ground. And it's like it tells me that they're coming in and that they were making room. They were clearing things out, things that have clogged you up. And it's like, and it is the season, winter, you know, you get in the garden, you cut everything back. It's like you pull old things out, you give the garden a good old makeover. And I've had to do that, and it's like I've got dahlias galore, and it's like I've got lilies, and now I've got irises popping up and that. But I had to get in and give everything a good muck out in order to make room for what is coming in. Come on. It's like, because God is doing a brand new thing. Now, the garden. Who is the garden? What is the garden? The garden is your heart. And God has come in and he's tilling the soil. And as we worship him, it's like angels are busy. As we are focused on him, angels are busy. Ministering spirits are busy. They're in and they're tilling the ground of your heart. They're tilling the soil. It's like, and they're rooting some things out that don't need to be there anymore. So quit fighting God. It's like, listen, God is going to release His glory in this house. It's like, I'm not trying to tickle your ears. It's like God says, I am coming, and He's coming in power, and He's wanting a church that is ready, not a church that is full of tumbleweed, not a church that is fully overgrown, and you can't see anything. He's coming in, and He's ripping things out, and you might think, oh, this is a bit uncomfortable, and I don't know if I can do this, but God says, let go and let me in this season. Do you want to know that God never stops healing? God never stops delivering. He says, you call on me, and He says, and I'll answer you. He says, I will show you great and marvelous things. He says, that you know not of. He says, you call on me in times of trouble, and He says, I will deliver you. He says, I will give you rest. And I'm going, oh, praise God forevermore. It's like, and I really feel this morning that God is wanting to come in and do a double whammy. It's like, where you have been in distress, where you have been tormented in your mind, where you have been suffering sickness. And listen, I'm not trying to diminish those who are gravely ill. But I tell you what, I have to come back to what the Word of God says every single time. Because the Word of God never ever lies. It doesn't lie. It's like, look, my kids will testify. They can ring me up and, you know, and they can share some of their stuff to me. And immediately, it's like I'll go to the word of the Lord, and I'll because that's my direction. And it's like, and they go, I knew you'd say that, Mum. I knew you'd say that. Well, why did you ask for then? It's like, because you see, my opinion is not going to change when it comes from the truth. It's not my opinion, it's the word of the living God. Amen? And God is wanting to come, and He's wanting to do suddenlies in your life, because now is the time. Now is the time. When a suddenly comes from God, and it's like a divine interruption, It comes immediately. It comes swiftly without notice. It just happens. And you think, how did that just happen? It's like, well, you know, when you've been contending and when you've been in prayer for something, you know, and it feels like, boy, oh boy, is it ever gonna take place? Is it ever gonna come to pass? And then suddenly, it's like, what happens? Oh my God, you can't explain it, because it is the hand of the Lord. And it's like, and He cracks open the atmosphere, and He steps into your world, and He changes everything. I'm going to give a little testimony about a suddenly, which took around about 5 years. Suddenly. I actually got permission. I was allowed to say this morning. And it concerns family member, two of them. So 5 years ago, it's like they were husband and wife. And then as life, you know, things happen, it's like they separated and they divorced. And that, but you know what? It's like, as a mama, it's like you pray. And it's like, and you pray. And sometimes you think, God, am I praying the right thing? And it's like, no. And it's like, you know, and I'd pray. James, I was praying for you. It's like, man, I'd be saying prayers with faith. And it would be like, James, God, you bless James. God, pour your love out over James. It was like, James was Victoria's husband. Victoria's my daughter. And they're both here today. You pray. And you pray in faith. And you stand on the word of God. Well, something very strange happened. It was a suddenly. When you know the background and the conversations that you've had, you know, with your children, you kind of go, oh my gosh, you know, maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree and maybe I shouldn't be praying for reconciliation and restoration after all they're divorced. It's like, what am I thinking? It's like, you know, I've just got to let it go. Just got to let it go, Michael. Happened 5 years ago. Just let it go. But you know what? It's like I couldn't let it go. There was just something there. And it's like, because I believe in miracles. You know, good old Catherine Coleman, I believe in miracles and I believe in God. It's like, I believe in miracles because I believe in God. I believe that God can turn things around. And we've had that word. It's like where he's the God of the turnaround. And I'm here to say today that there is nothing, nothing, nothing too difficult for God that he cannot turn it around for you. Now, I'm happy to say that, you know, after 5 years, has been separated, divorced, and that it's like the two of them are dating. It's like loving on each other. It's like and coming back together. It's like God can do anything. Come on. There was another suddenly. I probably shared this before, but I'm going to share it again. And Ella, my daughter, she was, you know, at 14 years old, it's like she kind of felt like she'd like to go into the police. And, you know, as things happen as a teenager, you know, you can go through a little bit of a rough patch. She was actually a really good kid. She was a good kid. But, you know, it's like she just hit a few tumultuous, you know, rapids and that along the way. And you know, so she applied for the police later on and that, and she didn't get in. Anyway, so, well, you're not going to give up. Try again. Tried again. No. No, don't bother applying for the police. And I'm just going, this is ridiculous. No, we're not having a bar of it. And I tell you what, we prayed and we pushed. And Ella and I were over in Amsterdam. And we're sitting there. Now, you've got to understand that it had been several years had passed. And we're standing on the word and we're believing. And every time Ella felt like, oh, Mum, no, this is just a waste of time and that, and it's just not going to happen. You know, and maybe I need to look at something else. And in the meantime, I mean, she was doing, you know, the whole night watch in the car. You go around neighbourhood watch. She was doing that. She was out doing corrections. She was working in the woman's prison, you know, and that's no easy feat. God bless the woman in the woman's prison. It's like, because God's going to come and do a suddenly for you in that cell. God's going to come and meet with you, and it's like the prison doors are going to break open and chains are going to come off in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on. So it'd been several years now, and it was like, and they wrote a letter to her and said, do not apply again. You can never apply again, and you will not be a policewoman. I mean, it was real blunt. Woo! Just like that. Off with your head, Charlie. Hope there's no Charlies here. Sorry, Charlie. We have a cat called Charlie. Oh, my gosh. Free to a good home. He's about 14, 15 years old, and he's a beast of a thing. He went missing. How long did he go missing for? A couple of years? 2 years he went missing. It was like it was a relief. Woo! And then he came back. It's like I got a phone call from the Lincoln vet saying, we've got your cat here. I said, I beg your pardon. We've got Charlie here. I went, you've got to be kidding. I said, he's been missing for 2 years. And that's so, of course, I go out there hoping it wasn't Charlie. And I get there, and as soon as he saw me, it was like, meow, 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 oh, purr. And I thought, that, yeah, it's Charlie. He used to attack me. It would be like he would wait by the door, and I'd be walking down the hall, and he would jump out, and he'd grab me around the ankles. It's like, he really is a beast, and he's big, and he's fluffy, and but he's Charlie, and we love Charlie. We love Charlie. I reckon he's going to outlive us all. It's like the cat, you know, that just never dies, a cat with 9 lives. I'm pretty sure he's got 18. But anywho, how did I get on to that? Oh, so suddenly, so here we go. We're in Amsterdam, and we're sitting there, and Ella opens up her emails, and there's an email from the police, the New Zealand police, saying, we would love you to apply for the New Zealand police. You know, so send in your application, or however it was worded, and like, we are laughing. We're just going, well, thank you, Jesus. The whole process, though, I think took around about 4 years. It was a long time. But I tell you what, when it suddenly comes, you're not thinking about all those years where you've been standing. It's like where you've been hoping and where you've been praying and where you've been contending for what belongs to you. Suddenly, it's like that's a whole different story. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's like you're on cloud nine. And I'm going, there is nothing, absolutely nothing too hard for our God that He cannot perform it for you. And I don't care how impossible the situation may be, because He said that there is nothing impossible. It's written on the door out there. Look, what is impossible with man is made possible with God. And He said, there is absolutely nothing, He says, that I cannot do. Come on. It's like we just need to go back to the word where it says in the book of Genesis, it's like in the beginning God. It's like God created. It's like He is a creator of all things. And He says, I created you to be just like me. He says, I want you to do what I've done. And He says, come on, it's time to get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. He's calling us to get up. He's calling us to shake off the grave clothes. Come on. And He says, I tell you, put on a garment of praise. He's saying, I want you to put on my garment. I'm wanting you to wear me. He said, because in that, He says, oh, He says, the world, He said, is your oyster. Doesn't really say that in the word. Paraphrased by Nawa Cooper. He says, you ask of me. He says, you ask of me. And I've got to ask you, what are you asking God for? What are you actually believing God for? It's like what Heather was saying. It's like she felt like, you know, people had given up on praying for their loved ones and that, because it had just been so long. But suddenly, it's like, when you pray in faith, know this, that God hears your prayers the first time. We have to cultivate our garden. We have to cultivate what's in our heart, because what is in your heart is potentially going to come out of your mouth. And so often you can tell where people are at in their life. You can gauge, you can see, you know, hot, cold, lukewarm, sitting on the fence, by what actually comes out of their mouth. Now, it doesn't mean that they don't love the Lord. It's like, seriously, it was like my life was a roller coaster. Before, you know, it's like God grounded me with revelation, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and I'm growing in it every single day. Every day. It's like there is not a day that I can go without meeting with my King. There's not a day. I mean, I get into bed and it's like I can see. It's like, now this might seem a bit weird to you, but anyway, it's like we're a prophetic church. We're a prophetic company of people. Weird stuff happens, which is actually quite normal. It is actually really normal to be weird. And God, I'm not talking about spooky, you know. It's like, I'm talking about God. You just need to read the accounts and what took place. I mean, how many of you pulled up a fish and there's a gold coin in there to go and pay your taxes? I'd really like that. How many of you ever sat on a donkey and it suddenly turned around and it started talking to you? Just saying. It's like, so when I'm lying in my bed, you know, and I'm having nights where it's like I can't sleep, and it's like, and so I'm lifting my hands to the Lord in bed, and I'm praising His holy name, and I'm thanking Him, but I can also see my spirit man is actually out on the floor, and I'm contending in the spirit. It's real. It's like He's calling us. He's saying, listen, cast off every restraint. Cast off every hurt. Oh my gosh, I tell you what, hurt is a real killer. He's saying, forgive and you'll be forgiven. I'm going, well, man, I'd hate to get to the gates and all of a sudden be rejected. It's like, because, man, I held a whole lot of unforgiveness toward people because of the way they looked at me, because of what they said about me. It's like, come on, we're bigger than that. We're seated in heavenly places, far above principalities. I tell you, those principalities, it's like they rule over regions. It's like, and they release ugly stuff. They release all kinds of contention and strife. They release the murdering spirit. It's like they release all sorts of ugly things. It's like, and then they've got their minions that go out, and it's like, and distribute it on those that are open. And I'm going, oh God. Oh God, clean us up. And we know now that we are in a time of cleanup. The church is absolutely in a time where God has come in. And it's like, and just like those angels here this morning with their wheelbarrows, and they're going in and they're doing a cleanup job. Oh, but you don't know what they did, and you don't know what she said, and you don't know how my mother was, and you don't know what my dad did. It's like, listen, I was sexually abused. It's like from right up until the age of 12 by my grandfather. And then other events took place with my father when I was 30. Come on. It's like that could really mess your head up. I was terribly promiscuous. But God came in. God did it suddenly. God delivered me. God set me free. It's like God has set me free. And it says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. God wants to come and He wants to do it suddenly in your life this morning. It's like He wants to come and He wants to break every chain. It's like where you have been deeply scorned, deeply hurt. Was it right? No, absolutely not. But God. And God comes in, and it's like, and He washes away everything with His pure, precious blood. He fills up every groove and every cut with His goodness and His kindness, His mercy and His grace. It's like, and He starts pouring in, and He starts pouring in, and God wants to come and pour into you today. I'm here to say that God is moving in this house, and He wants to do suddenlies for you. He says, you know, in Acts 1, we can read it. It's like where they're all waiting in the upper room, and it's like they're waiting. They're waiting for Holy Spirit to be poured out. Now, they don't actually even know what that's going to look like. And I can tell you right now, we actually don't even know what it looks like. You may be have been in past moves of God before. I've kind of come in on the end of the Toronto blessing. It was like I came in on that, and you know, there was the laughter and stuff. But it's like this move of God, because I know that there is a movement happening right now. And I want to say this too. It's like it isn't just for the young people, although God is going to absolutely affect the young people. It's like it's not just for them. I'm telling you, it is for every age group, because God is not a respecter of just the youth. God is a respecter. He wants everyone. It's like he is wanting everyone. All those that are on their deathbeds. It's like who are maybe elderly. It's like all those who are in the middle. It's like all those who have just been born. It's like God is going to reach out and he's going to touch every single person. It's like God is making the adjustments in his house. And it came out strongly in prayer this week. When there were a few of us that gathered, and it was like he says, I'm bringing about an adjustment in my house. And the funny way I was seeing it was because it was like a vehicle. And he said, there is going to be a new anointing that comes upon my house. It's like, you know, you take your car in for a service, and it's like, and they pour out the old oil and put in the new oil. Might need to get new tires on the car. Well, he showed me that everything was going to be, he was retreading everything. And I thought, oh my goodness me, it's like when I was sharing this with Janet and that, it was like what came out was, you know, everywhere the soles of our feet tread, it's like we take dominion, we take back. And it was like, so I was seeing, it was like the body of Christ has been retreaded. It's like so that we can take back, but also that we can gain traction in this season. It's like where we're not just going to sit. It's like where we're going to move. It's like, listen, when we're in worship, when we're in praise, it's like, don't be ashamed. It's like, get up, get up, get up. It's like, get up out of your seat. And it's like, begin to jump up and down. It's like, begin to twirl around. It's like, because it's having an effect on the atmosphere. If your eyes were open to see, and I pray today that every eye will see. It's like, Father, where there are scales, God, that have come upon the eyes, Father, upon the eye gate, God, and that they're not seeing clearly. Father God, I take authority over those scales now in Jesus' name, and I rip them off, Father God, the eye gate, Father, that they may see, Father God, and see further than they've ever seen before, with greater clarity, with greater understanding, with greater revelation. Oh, praise God forevermore. And Father, I thank you right now. Father God, with a heart of hearing. Father, listen, whether this be in the natural or whether it be in the spirit, it's like God will move. God will ride in swiftly, it says, upon his word. And I'm saying, God, come and move swiftly, God, upon your people. It's like swiftly is an immediately, which is a suddenly. It's like it happens quickly. You see, we're all waiting for something to happen. Or we're all waiting for somebody else to do it for us. But you see, God's coming back not to a sick, timid, frightened little church. Oh, no, he's not. He's coming back to a very strong, mighty, powerful church. He's coming back for you, and he's coming back for me. And it's like we're going to stand before him one day, and we're going to have to give an account of everything we've done. Now, don't start freaking out and thinking, oh, far out. You know, it's like, what have I done? What have I done? Just say, oh, Father, use me. Here I am. Smile at somebody. That may be the very thing that saves their life. It was so funny. A few weeks ago, my husband and I were home alone, which isn't very often. And we were standing in the kitchen. He's sitting down having a coffee. I looked into his eyes. And I went, darling, have you noticed? And with that, the both of us roared with laughter. He's banging his knee It's like I'm doubled over. It's like, and we are just absolutely going off. You talk about a suddenly. I'm going, I was just minding my own business. I was just looking into his eyes and about to say something to him. And it was like suddenly, it was like I got hit with this joy, with this laughter. It was just bellowing out of the both of us. So anyway, I tried again to say what I wanted to say to him. And again, it was just like, what? God! Oh, Jesus! Oh, God! I mean, we behave like this at home. This is pretty normal. Man, I pray the church gets so infected with the joy of the Lord that it will come out of you with laughter, that it will just... I tell you what, demons won't be able to stand it. Demons can't stand the light. Demons can't stand the life of God. They are frightened of God. So they should be frightened of you. Well, it took me half a dozen goes to get out what I actually wanted to say to my husband. And actually, what I wanted to say was, have you noticed how much we've been laughing together over nothing? And he said, yes, I have. He's probably going to say to me, I didn't say it like that. He just said it, I didn't say it like that. And the Lord instantly, boom, gave me revelation. He says, I'm delivering your soul. I'm delivering you. I'm healing you. And I went, wow, I like this. He says, because laughter is like medicine. Medicine to the soul. And I tell you what, we can become so serious and so entrenched, you know, so bogged down. We shouldn't be bogged down, people. It's like he says that he's given angels charge over us. It's like they come and pull us up out of that bog, out of that miry clay, and they set our feet firmly upon a solid foundation. God is a solid foundation. So if you set your compass, if you set your ways, if you set your feet upon him, praise God, it's like he will lead you in the way that you should go. He says, I will deliver you out of all of your troubles. He doesn't say, I will deliver you from some of them and the rest you can work out for yourself. He says, no, I will deliver you. God wants to come and he wants to deliver you this morning. Praise God forevermore. So I love it when they're in the upper room and they're waiting on Holy Spirit. Listen, Holy Spirit is already here. We just need to step in. We just need to take a hold of. And you see, when your eyes are covered in scales, it's like you can't see anything. It's like you just stay in your torment. You just keep going around and around and around the same old mountain over and over again. And I just don't know why I just keep going around. And it's like, and I just sort of go, well, what's your confession like? It's like, what are you setting your heart on? How cultivated is your garden? I'm going, God is coming. And he's looking to us to be his mouthpiece. He's looking to us to be his hands and his feet. Can you imagine being in that upper room? Just think about this for a minute. They're all up there. And suddenly, a sound. Now, we had a suddenly last Sunday where a sound came forth. But you know what? A sound can come in many different ways. A sound can be a whisper, a still small voice. But this sound was roaring. And we are in a time of the roar. We are absolutely in a time of the roar where I tell you what, it's giving the church back its voice. where the church was deemed not essential. It's like God saying, I'm very much essential, and I'm going to take center stage in these days. Listen, he's always taken center stage. It's just that we've just thrown everything. It's like we've just pushed him aside because we want to do our own thing. And I'm saying, oh, Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, this is your house. We don't give him permission to move. Dear Lordy, Lord. It's like, man. It's like, oh, God. I'm so sorry for the times where we said, oh, we make room for God. What does that, you know how you can just get these wrong, that you hear it and it's like, and you hear it and it's like, so you just say it. It's a little bit like saying, you know, going where angels fear to tread. Well, actually, that is biblically incorrect. But angels are not, angels don't fear nothing. Excuse my English. They don't fear anything. But because you've maybe heard it over the years, it's like you take it as gospel. Angels do not fear. If God's saying to us, don't fear, it'd be terrible if angels feared. I mean, it's like, hang on a minute. These ministering spirits are supposed to be helping me, yet they're fearful because of the demons. See how wacky it gets? So they're in the upper room and they hear. I tell you what, they're encased in a sound. It's coming from every direction. It's a roar. Then fire. And I'm saying, Father, let us walk in your fire. Let us walk in the sound. God, let us be the sound in the season. God, let us breathe fire. God, let our eyes burn like fire. I mean, listen, it's biblical. So I'm saying, Lord, this is your house. Invade every one of us. Invade every living organism. It's like where people are downtrodden, where people are hurting. And listen, I understand. I've been there. I have been there. I have been so broken. I've been so messed up. Oh my goodness, what a testimony of the goodness of God. It's like I've lost loved ones. It's like I've prayed for people and they've died. Is that going to change my mind though? How I see the living God? Am I going to try and figure it out why they passed away? Absolutely not. I'm not God. I just abide by what his word says here. Listen, God wants to come and he wants to meet with you this morning. How long have I got? It says 20. That's counting down. That's good. Praise the Lord, because that clock can be really evil. It can. It just catches up with you, you know, and wants to bite you. So there was a noise that came from heaven, Acts 2:2, and suddenly, I want you to all say, suddenly, woo, there came a sound. I tell you what, a noise like a violent rushing wind. I'm going, whoa, come on. Oh, I'm going, okay, God, look, I know Holy Spirit's already come. Oh, but God, do it again. It's like, God, do it again. You wouldn't have put it in there otherwise. God, everything I read in there, God, I can have for myself. Even in the Old Testament, people. So if you've thrown the Old Testament out, you better go and get it back and it's like and take a hold of it. We need the old with the new. It's like it's a type and a shadow of what's to come. told us everything in the old, what was going to come in the new covenant. And I just praise God that we're not having to go out and slaughter a whole lot of oxen. You know, I mean, talk about a bloodbath. I'm going, that would just be terrible. I mean, I lived on a farm, you know, home kills. It's like the smell of blood. Sorry, it's just like, but I'm going, you know, it's like, how fortunate are we that Christ came for us? I've been marveling over, it's like, how he suddenly saved me. And I mean, there were many times that I needed saving. I'm not talking about my salvation, because when I gave my heart to the Lord, I gave my heart to the Lord. But I found myself in situations, it's like where it was very compromised. I mean, compromised. We just buried a friend. He had drowned in duck shooting. This is many years ago. And my boyfriend was taking me home in his brother's car, the one that had died. And as we're driving along, it's like I knew the Lord. But, you know, my life was messy. Well, it really was. It was just so messed up. And we ended up running off a straight road. It was straight as. Out in the country, big ditches, big culverts. All I remember is that we were heading toward a tree, and then we missed that tree, and he swerved, and we hit another tree, which was on my side. That's all I remember. And then I woke up, and I was up to my neck in water and pitch black. And I'm thinking, oh, okay. Now, I didn't panic. I was just feeling. And I was going, well, this is a bit tricky, because nothing feels familiar. There was nothing familiar. I couldn't, there were no windows. It was really disorientating, and it was terrible. And what had happened was when the car flipped and ended up in the drain, which was full of water because it was duck shooting time and we'd had rain, it had flipped upside down, and it was a two-door car, and obviously I'm sitting on the ceiling. So it's like I'm trying to figure out where on earth am I. And I'd flipped into the back seat. So the windscreen had come pushed out, and it was like, so I somehow managed to flip and ended up in the back seat. And it was like, I'm saying, okay, God, it's like, this is pretty dire. And all I could think about at that time were there were big eels in there, because we used to go eeling. And I'm thinking, oh, flip. I wasn't at that point worried about drowning. I was more worried about the eels. And poor Martin, I mean, it's like, fine, I didn't even think about him. It was like, it was the furthest thing from my mind at that time, because I'm just thinking, eels, where am I? Pitch black. And I'm going like this, can't see anything. I mean, it was blacker than black. And then it kind of kicked in that maybe I'm in trouble. And suddenly I hear the splutter, and I hear my name being called, and I'm going, here I am. And it's like, well, where are you? And he's splashing around. And the poor guy had his head wrapped around the seatbelt, and he's upside down, and he was trying to get out. But you know what? It was such a miracle. It was like he was feeling around, and he pushes his hand in somewhere and pulls out a flashlight. Now, it'd been underwater, and he turns it on. So that's how I discovered at that point I was in the back, and that the car was upside down, and we're submerged, and we're like this. I'm going, okay, how are we going to get out of here? And I'm saying, Father, I'm calling on you. God, I'm crying out to you. God, you need to come. Lord, come and save us. It's like, because we're jammed tight in this culvert. I believe that angels of the Lord came that night and that they rescued us. Martin was around about 6'6", all of Dutch descent, very tall. And he got out of the gap. I don't know how he did it. Come on. Like that. And he ran up onto the road because he heard a car coming, and it was sort of after midnight. And he waved them down, and it was Indians who just lived up the long driveway at the culvert that we'd gone into. And so they're coming down, and they're trying to open the door, and they're trying to get me out. I still to this day don't know how it happened. 1 minute, I'm in the back. The next minute, I'm on the bank. There was a suddenly that took place, and this was the real clincher. As soon as I was on the bank, the car fully submerged. Fully submerged. God suddenly came in. God heard my cry. Are you crying out to him today? Are you calling on us suddenly? Are you stirring yourselves up? Have you got prophetic words that have been given to you? Because according to, I think it's 2 Timothy, it's like where Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, son Timothy, you wage a good warfare. The prophetic words that you've been given, he says, don't just put them aside. He says, I want you to wage a good warfare with them. What does that mean? It means, God, I lift up this word that you've given me. I thank you, Almighty God. You said that you'd send me to nations. I thank you, Almighty God, that you write it on your word. I thank you, God, that you will act swiftly upon your word this morning. Oh, God, if it's a healing that you need in your body, oh, God, I thank you. I thank you that by Jesus' stripes I am healed in the mighty name of Jesus. God never, ever fails concerning his word. He says in Isaiah 40, 29, he said he gives strength to the weary and increases power of the weak. It's like if you are feeling weak this morning, God says that I will release power into you today. Oh, his word never fails. In Psalms 32, he says, Lord my God, I called to you for help. Don't ever think that God never hears your cry. God says that I am not deaf, that I cannot hear you. He says, what? He said, you think my arm is too short to save you? Then goes on to say, you know, but because of your sin, I've hidden myself from you. And it's like, and I'm going, okay, God, it's time to examine our hearts, God, because this is the day that we're living in. He says, where? He says, I'm coming back to a pure, holy church. He says, I'm coming and I'm cleaning up my bride. It's like that she will be spotless and pristine before him. And I'm going, we make too many excuses by saying, well, we're not perfect and we all sin and we all mess up. And so it's giving you license that you can sin and that you can mess up, and it's okay to live a sort of a like a lukewarm Christian life. Oh, so Lord my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. Now, whether it's a physical healing that you need or an emotional healing, a mental healing, it's like God will swiftly, swiftly ride in on his word. And he will do it for you. He will do it for you. Listen, it is like 100% guaranteed he will do it for you. Stop accepting that it's the flu season. Stop saying, oh, well, you know, it's going around. Well, man, I tell you what, it can just flip and give me a wide berth. I was out preaching in another church a couple of weeks ago, and it was like, and they were all sort of struck with COVID and stuff like that, and it's like I came back from there, and it was a Sunday night, and I could feel something. You know when you feel something? I thought, you filthy thing. Man, I tell you what, I was chewing like 5,000 milligrams of vitamin C. I was taking magnesium, and I continually said out of my mouth, I have nothing in common with you. Get out. I tell you what, that thing, it's like it could not stick. Now, this is not to bring condemnation on anybody. But for goodness sakes, change what is coming out of your mouth in this season. Because you see, when you decree a thing, oh, I always get sick. Oh, it's the flu season. I always get the flu. Oh, it's just like I'm always so broke. Do you know what you're doing? You are decreeing a thing and it will be established for you 100%. So we want to break that today. In fact, I just break that. I break it off you right now in Jesus' name. Every lying word. God, we repent. Father, we repent and we turn around, God, and we say what you say concerning your word. Hallelujah. God knows everything about us. He knows the beginning from the end. God is absolutely not taken by surprise at all. I'm going, God, come and breathe on your house once again. God, come and do a suddenly in us. God, come and make those adjustments so that the King of Glory can come in. Where we lift up our heads, O ye gates, and let the King of Glory in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord God Almighty. I tell you what, who is and was and is to come. He's coming again, and he's going to come in power and strength. He has always been a God of power and strength. And he's saying it's time for the body of Christ to rise up. He's saying it's time to arise and shine. It's like we're not some little flickering light. It's like he's saying, I want you to be planted on a hill so that all can see in this season. We cannot have a compromised faith. We cannot have a dim light. God wants to come and just remove all the junk out of your trunk today. My God, he says, if you ask of me, he says, I will give it to you. I'm going, thank you, Jesus. It's like, man, I don't have to grab a hold of his ankle and have him drag me around. It's like I'm just saying, thank you, Jesus. You've said it. It is so. I thank you, Almighty God, that your promises to me are yes and amen. Well, what are the promises of God? Well, according to Google, I sort of looked at it, and it's like, One said there's over 7,000 in the Bible. There was another that said over 8,000. I thought, well, that's a bit too many to sort of be rattling off. But if there are 7 or 8,000 promises in the Word of the living God who lives and abides in you, it's like, wow, wow, wow. It's like, man, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. It's like we are not meant to be under the devil's feet. It's like we're called to be above and not beneath. It's like the devil's under our feet. So God is absolutely turning the tables in this time. And where he is mobilizing the body of Christ. And you will know who you are. It's like he is branding your hearts afresh today. He's marked you for favor. He has marked you for blessing. He has marked you for healing. He has marked you for rest. He has marked you for peace. He has marked you with wisdom. He has marked you with revelation. He has marked you with understanding. Oh, come on. He's marked you with, oh, here we go. You want to know? He's marked each and every one of you with prosperity. That spirit, soul, body, financially, physically, emotionally, everything. If you've made a vow, you know, to live in lack, I want to break that off you. You made a vow, you know, that you just want just enough. You know, for me, I myself, I just want to break that off you. We're supposed to be living vessels. It's like we're supposed to be poured out so that God can fill us up. I'm saying, God, come and do it again. Come and have your way and do it suddenly in this house. I tell you what, this house has been marked for favor. This house has been marked for revival. This house has been marked in Jesus' name. It's like it has been marked and called an epicenter for revival. It's like we need to pick up the prophetic words that have been spoken over this house. It's like a wage a good warfare. Because I tell you what we say we have in Jesus' mighty name. Praise God. Let us all stand up this morning. Hallelujah. Because God wants to come and he wants to release us suddenly over you. God wants to unstop. It's like, I tell you what, take the lid off. He showed me a picture of a well on Wednesday. And it was like, and it was all covered over with bramble. And I pulled that off, and then over top of the well, it was like all wooden planks. And so we're ripping those off and saying, oh my God, unstop the well. Unstop the well. And Mark preached a really good message a few months back about the well. And it was like, and it was so good. And I'm going, yes, Lord, come and do it again. Come and do it suddenly in our lives. Come and do it suddenly in our heart, God. Come and shift everything that needs to be shifted. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Message here tonight. Just change gear for a sec. There will be no prophetic worship tonight. With Vicky Trustrum. I think she might even still be in transit. She may be home, but, oh, she is back. Well, she's just come back from Germany and stuff, so it's like, whew, probably got a little bit of jet lag, maybe. But anyway, we just pray strength to her. In fact, we just pray strength over her in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. It's like I'm saying, Father, I thank you for revival. I tell you what, he comes and revives the church, he awakens the world. We've got to be revived first. Not much point us all being sick and downhearted and trying to win the world. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? I'm sort of going, well, how are you any different? Just saying. We really haven't looked any different. So he's saying, I want you to come. And I want you to throw off every restraint this morning. I don't care how big or how small. I mean, I know that some people have been going through absolute hell, but you're going to come through the other side. Health-wise, mentally, emotionally, I want you to lay it all down. Because when we come to the altar, everything changes. If you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, or if you've been away from him, we want to give an opportunity for you to come forward this morning. I've even been marveling over that, about how he came and he rescued me and he saved me out of an absolute dire life, a messed up life. broken. Oh, terrible. And he came and he pulled me up out of that miry clay, out of those circumstances, out of all the emotional abuse and the sexual abuse and all that sort of stuff. It's like he came and he lifted me up out of that. And he set me upon his foundation, eternal life. And eternal life is for everyone. And so if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, it's like I want to invite you to come forth this morning and we're going to pray for you. It is the greatest miracle of all. It is the greatest miracle. If you haven't been living how you ought, you know, and we could so water everything down. We can even water down the whole salvation thing. Man, I want you to start, you intercessors, you prayer warriors, I want you to start praying right now in the meeting. It's like because people's lives are at stake. If you've been away from God, it's like, and you know you're not living the way you ought to live, it's like you need to get down the front as well. And it's like, and we will pray for you. It's like that every chain be removed. Every bit of guilt and condemnation. It's like come off you. Be washed in the blood. Tell you what, if you are suffering sickness today, oh my God, what a curse from hell. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross that you might be well and that you might live a long, prosperous, healthy, strong, overcoming, victorious life. So we want to pray for you today. In fact, we're just going to open the altar and we're going to ask God to come and do a suddenly in your life today in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, pick it up a bit, Catherine. Praise God. So if that applies to you, it's like, and you need to know Jesus Christ. You need to get your life right with him. Oh, my God, he's going to remove boulders. He's going to remove those things that have tried to hold you down, keep you back. Praise God. And we're going to pray for 80 this morning. It's like, how many of you believe in suddenlies? How many of you? Come on, come on. Come on, who else wants a suddenly? Who else wants a suddenly? Come on, come on. If you want a suddenly this morning, listen, this is not hype. This is getting to the altar. It's like God wants to touch your life. He wants to transform your life. He wants to heal your life. He wants to deliver you. It's like he wants to set you free. It's like there's a river that is flowing in this place. Come on, and when we jump in the river, I tell you what, it's a river that is so pure and so holy from the Holy of Holies, from the throne room of God. It's like it is flowing and it is rushing. And I tell you what, it is healing and it is cleansing. It is delivering. It's like it transforms everything in your life. It's like you will not be denied. Come on. Come on. Do I have a prayer ministry, if they can come forward? It's like, dear God, dear God, dear God, I thank you. I thank you right now. Father, I thank you right now. Father, we lift 80 before you and we thank you, Almighty God. Father, I curse every curse, Father God, in her body. I curse it right now in Jesus' mighty name. You said according to your word that by Jesus' stripes she is healed in Jesus' mighty name. Father, you said that every curse was nailed to the cross, Father God, and we believe what you say. And Father, we nail, Father God, the curse to where it belongs, at the cross in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I declare and decree over you the healing balm, the river of life flowing out of you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, we're praying for a suddenly. Father, we're praying for a suddenly right now. We're praying for a suddenly right now. Thank you, Almighty God. Thank you, Almighty God. Thank you, Almighty God. Thank you, Almighty God. Is there anybody that has responded to salvation this morning? Is there anybody in here who is unsure? It's like, listen, now is your time. Because it's time. It's turnaround for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're saved. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, press on every heart here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Come and press on every heart in the house this morning, Lord. Come and breathe fire, Father God, in their bones. Oh God, come and release us suddenly. Let us suddenly come upon your people. Let us suddenly come upon your church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, just go. Release suddenly. Suddenly in the name of Jesus. Who else is here? Have we got catches, please? Can I have some more prayer people to come and pray and release suddenlies over people? Come on. Listen, whether it's a healing in your body, it may be a financial need. I just pray that God give you revelation, that he gives you wisdom and what to do. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I take authority right now in the realms of the Spirit. Father, over every curse, Father God. Father, in people's bodies right now. Father, and I break, Father God, every curse right now of sickness and disease in Jesus' mighty name. Father God, every blockage, Father God, every blockage in the body, Father God, every discouragement right now, I break discouragement off you in Jesus' mighty name. God, let the river of healing flow in this house this morning. Come and flow, come and flow, come and flow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, we magnify you. Thank you, Lord, we magnify your holy name.